السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا
الحمد لله رب العالمين، أحمده سبحانه وأستعينه وأتوب إليه وأستغفره، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة والتسليم هو رسول الله وخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وعلى صحبه الكرام وعلى المؤمنين حتى يقوم يوم الدين. I bear witness that there is no other God but Allah. Praise to Him in His Highness who has created heavens and earth and who has sent messengers to guide humanity to the right path, and who has sent Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, as a final of his messengers to humanity. May Allah send peace and blessings to the soul of the Prophet, to the souls of his wives and his descendants, to the souls of his companions, and to the souls of the believers until the day of judgment. Ameen. My topic today for this khutbah, brothers and sisters in Islam, is about al-hijratu wa al-tahjiru min manzurin islami, an Islamic view on voluntary and forced immigration. I found this is a very hot topic all over the world. There are upheavals, revolutions, civil wars, leading huge numbers of people in millions to be forced, to be displaced. And I thought it would be beneficial to us if we can think about the Islamic perspective from the voluntary and forced immigration. And if we look around us in this world today, we will find that the first kind of hijrah or immigration is the brain drain immigration. The immigration of skilled, educated people from the southern hemisphere, usually to the northern hemisphere. Why is that? Because what I just mentioned. There are a lot of wars and upheavals, lack of development, maybe despotic governments. Circumstances are not suitable for the skilled people, the educated people who have ambition to be better, and therefore they continuously immigrate from the south to the north. That's one type of immigration. Another type is the immigration of the poor in general, whether they are skilled or not skilled. Again, with the upheavals and revolutions and disturbances, the dictatorial governments, there are no economic developments as it should be, which leaves people as poor, and therefore they immigrate, whoever can. It's not really available to everybody. Whoever can immigrate to improve his or her status, they really do it. Basically from the south to the north, North America, North Europe, and Australia. And this kind of immigration is not welcomed by the wealthy nations, vis-a-vis the first kind of immigration of the skilled, educated entrepreneurs. It's always welcome and facilitated. And the third kind of hijra today, or immigration today, is what I just mentioned about it at the beginning, the forced immigration, the immigration of refugees, the displaced people, the ones who are affected basically by human rights violations by dictatorial governments, or being displaced as a result of wars, civil wars, upheavals. Among the most noticed of the last type of immigration, the immigration of the refugees from bad conditions as a result of wars and dictatorial government, is the one you must have heard about, our brothers and sisters in Myanmar, and they are called Rohingya Muslims with Bangladeshi origin. And they have been there for centuries. And Myanmar is a Buddhist country. So they were persecuted big time, attacked for no reason other than being Muslim. And almost about 1 million of them, to be specific, about 909,000 of them fled Myanmar and took refuge in Bangladesh. And even the United Nations tried to help them to be repatriated, to go back to Myanmar. Still, they refused because conditions are the same. They would be persecuted. About 70 years ago, the Palestinians were displaced by force by Israelis. And until today, if anybody doesn't understand the problems in the Middle East, it's because of this original problem. Forcing people out of their homeland for no other reasons than being Muslims. If they were Jewish, they would stay. And therefore, they were persecuted. And according to the United Nations numbers, we are talking about 4.5 million refugees, basically, in the West Bank, Gaza, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon. And these are the registered with the United Nations. But Palestinians in general are somewhere between 12 million and 13 million. And the rest of them are not registered as refugees. They are working everywhere in the world. Add to that, the most recent calamity that befell into Muslims, and that's the Syrian calamity. And as a result of the continuous war until this moment, there have been about 6.5 million Syrians displaced to Jordan, Lebanon. Turkey took the major actual one, and even Germany took about 1 million of them. So 6.5 million of them fled the country. And about like that, 6.2 to be exact, million, are displaced inside Syria. So you're talking about 13 million Syrians, and the vast majority of these are Sunni Muslims. Attacks on their own cities, where these cities are no longer inhabitable. No homes, no businesses, no schools, as a result of continuous destruction of their cities. And finally, just another example. There are so many examples around the world. Just another more example, the Iraqis. Our brothers, sisters in Iraq, also most likely Sunni Muslims. They have been, about 3 million of them, 3.3 million of them, are displaced inside Iraq. Their cities like Mosul were destroyed completely. You cannot live anywhere anymore there. And they took refuges in refugee camps inside Iraq. And about 370,000 of them made it outside Iraq, to Syria, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and few of them North America or North Europe. I do not mean that only Muslims are forced. There may be some cases, but the vast majority of refugees today in the world forced of their homelands are Muslims. So it begs the question, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us and his final prophet about immigration? We know that in the first few years of da'wah, of the prophet's mission alayhi salatu wassalam, the Muslims were persecuted big time in Mecca by the Meccan non-believers. So the Prophet ﷺ ordered early Muslims to go to Ethiopia, Al-Habasha, and to be specific, Aksum kingdom, where there was a Christian king, a just one, Najashi. They went there, took refuge there. Some of them heard, this was about the fifth year of the mission of the Prophet ﷺ. Some of them heard falsely that persecution stopped. They came back to Mecca to find that, no, it is continuous. And actually, the Prophet ﷺ ordered another wave of immigration. The numbers are controversial, maybe 83 men, several women or children. Numbers are not important, but what's important is the persecution. It happened, and the Prophet ﷺ said, if we are persecuted, we need to seek refuge. We shouldn't stay persecuted. Then he himself, ﷺ, was threatened. They were plotting to kill him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him permission to immigrate, and he immigrated to Medina after the people of Medina came and pledged allegiance to him, pledged protection and support. So he went there. So we have now three immigrations in early Islam. Two to Ethiopia, Aksum kingdom, and one to Medina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted that, and the Prophet, of course, asked the Sahaba, the companions, even to go before him. And the ones who were still there in Mecca, they followed him. And when you read verses in the Holy Quran about the people of Medina who pledged support for the believers and for the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessing be upon him, you cannot find more praise to any group of people who support the refugees, who support the immigrants. And for example, in Surah Al-Anfal, this is سورة الأنفال chapter 8 of the Holy Quran verse 74 يقول الله عز وجل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله والذين آووا ونصروا أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم صدق الله العظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى is mentioning those who have believed and immigrated and struggled in the sake of Allah. This is one group, believers, and they were persecuted, they immigrated and struggled. Then another group, and those who supported them. That's so the first group, the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ. The second group, the people of Medina. What does Allah say about them? أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا. Those are the true believers. So when you immigrate, you are as out of fear for your religion, for your kids, for your family, then this is true faith in Allah. And Allah promised them to be forgiven and a great reward in the hereafter, inshallah. When the Prophet was established alayhi salatu wasalam in Medina, then he conquered Mecca with 10,000 fighters of Muslims without really real fight. And the Meccan non-believers now entered Islam. So you are a Muslim, a believer in Mecca, in that city, you are no longer persecuted. Then you don't need to immigrate to Medina. Even if the Messenger of Allah is in Medina and you are living in his time, there is no reason for you to immigrate. And he said in his famous hadith, لا هجرة بعد الفتح, no immigration after conquering Mecca, meaning after making it peaceful place for Muslims. Wherever you are capable to worship Allah, to teach your children and family and friends freely about Allah, and to make da'wah also about Allah, if these conditions are there, you should not immigrate. Everybody should be in his or her own. Otherwise, the whole world would be in one city. And that's contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, which is i'mar al-ard, construction of earth. ولكن جهاد ونية. There is no immigration from one place to another, starting from Mecca, but you continue struggle. And you continue having the intention, if there is persecution, yes, I would immigrate. But I have the intention to continue the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the case of persecution, and you cannot worship Allah, and you cannot teach your children, and you cannot make da'wah, then hijra, immigration, is obligatory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to leave. Because what if you do not leave? Your children are no longer mu'min. You yourself will succumb. And we have experiences of that, by the way. It really happened in Andalusia, in Arab Spain, Muslim Spain, when it fell to the Crusaders, the Spaniards, in 1492, they forced Muslims to convert. They call them mosque, if you want to read about that in the internet. And even when Muslims converted and started attending churches, still they did not believe them. Still they persecuted them and killed a lot of them and pushed many of them to South America and Central America. And therefore you see and you hear the Islamic heritage among Latinos. And I think it's a huge door for us Muslims to remind our brothers and sisters in the Latino community of their Islamic origins. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the situation if you are persecuted and you cannot worship Allah anymore in any community? We learn from that, or we learn about that from verses 97 to 100 of Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4 of the Holy Quran, and also in verse 41 of Surah Al-Dukhan, of Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16 of the Holy Quran. يقول الله عز وجل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الذين توفاهم الملائكة ظالمي أنفسهم قالوا فيما كنتم قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا. Very strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when people die, when the time comes for a person to die, and then the angels come and ask them a few seconds after the death, why did you oppress yourself? The Quran uses the word ظلم النفس, ظالمي أنفسهم, to mean oppressing a self. How do you oppress yourself? When you put yourself in jeopardy, when you are disobedient to Allah, when you victimize yourself, that's the meaning. So the angels ask them, why did you wrong yourself? Why did you put yourself in that situation to be oppressed, to be persecuted? They answer, we were weak. كنا مستضعفين. Somebody persecuted us. We were weak. In the land or on earth. The angels reply to them, wasn't the planet of earth that Allah made for you vast enough for you to immigrate? So if you were persecuted in that city, in that nation, you have no excuse to be saying, I was weak and they persecuted me. The angels would ask you, wasn't earth big enough, vast enough for you to immigrate in it? Why would you stay oppressing yourself? And Allah ends, closes this verse. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Their destination is Jahannam, and it is the worst destination. Imagine how much we are required, which is important here. Living in a city, earning a living, eating, drinking, having a shelter, while converting outside the way of Allah, or immigrating and sacrificing the homeland. Allah is telling us, immigrate, it's better. Otherwise, it's Jahannam. Then he made an exception. Not everyone is going to be punished by Jahannam. إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ حِيلَةً وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا. The exception is men, women, children who could not find a way or a path outside. They could not. For example, like the case of those who are trapped in Syria and Iraq. Outside, the borders are closed, there is a lot of fighting, and they cannot find a way to immigrate. Okay, these are exempted. They have the exception. فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًّا غَفُورًا. Those, may Allah will forgive them because he is the all forgiver. And he is thinking about his weak worshipper in this case. وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجِدُ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعَةً. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this on one side, the punishment for those who accept to be persecuted and staying. Then he says on another side, the reward, encouragement. And those who immigrate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them better ways, better rewards, actually vast rewards. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتُ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And those who intend to leave, but they die, they did not reach their destination outside of the persecution, their reward has already been written to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, and he knows the intentions of each one of us. Then he's telling us about what happens, what does he think of those who immigrate for the sake of Allah, and they are successful in that. And this is Surah An-Nahl, verse 41, chapter 16 of the Holy Quran. وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلُمُوا. Those who immigrate for the sake of Allah, for no other reason, for the sake of Allah, as I mentioned before. Sake of Allah here means, I want to be free in worshiping Allah, in teaching my kids, in making da'wah. If I can't do that, then I immigrate. He said, those who immigrate in this condition, after their persecution, لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. We will give them reward in the dunya. They will be successful in the destination, inshallah. وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. But the reward of the latter one, the hereafter, is much bigger if they just know about it. Then a major principle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning in the Holy Quran. That's the prohibition of forcing people out of their homeland. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this earth suitable for human beings to thrive, to prosper, to be prosperous anywhere on earth. And generation after generation, they establish themselves. They build homes, schools, hospitals, roads, everything that is suitable for their livelihood. Then suddenly, another group comes and forces them out. This is one of the most repugnant, hateful, disliked things for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he equated forcing people out of their territory or community with shedding human blood, with killing people, سفك الدماء, as he, praise to him, said in the two verses 84, 85 of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Holy Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا أخذنا ميثاقكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the children of Israel. He says, وإذا أخذنا ميثاقكم لا تسفكون دماءكم ولا تخرجون أنفسكم من دياركم ثم أقررتم وأنتم تشهدون. Allah says, I have taken a pledge from you that you don't shed blood and don't force each other out of your territory. One group of them shedding blood of another group. One group of them forcing others to get out of their territory or their community. And you accepted that pledge. ثم أنتم هؤلاء تقتلون أنفسكم وتخرجون فريقا منكم من ديارهم. Then here you are killing some people among you, the believers. And we are told in the Holy Quran that one group of children of Israel believed and one continued in their disbelief. This is when the Prophet Isa alayhi salam came, messenger of Allah. تظاهرون عليهم بالإثم والعدوان. And not only you shed blood and force people outside their territory, but also you plot against them in their new destination. وَإِنْ يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارَ تَفَادُوهُمْ. Then you ask for ransoms for captives. وَهُوَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِخْرَاجُهُمْ. And it is prohibited for you to force anybody out. That's the rule really. وَهُوَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِخْرَاجُهُمْ. It is prohibited to force anybody out of their territory. This earth is done for us so we can worship and we can be great. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue worshiping Him, teaching our children His religion, and making da'wah all the time. And ask Him, He is very close answering your call. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. الله سبحانه وتعالى in various ayats told us that whenever we receive a wave of immigrants, any kind of immigrants, those who are persecuted or those who are looking for better life, those who are displaced, we must support them. We must be generous to them. In verse 22 of Surah An-Nur, this is chapter 24 of the Holy Quran, يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا يأتل أولو الفضل منكم والسعة أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling those who are capable to give, not to hesitate, but to give to relatives, the poor, the immigrants. He put immigrants among the categories of people for you, you take care of those immigrants in the sake of Allah. And you forgive if they make a mistake. They are usually, they are stranger in a new land. Don't you like, forgive them. And he says, don't you like that Allah forgives you and He is all forgiving. Then he praised the people of Medina. This is in Surah Al-Hashr, chapter 59 and verse 9. يقول عز وجل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم. Those who established themselves in Medina. الدار here means Medina. And they established them in Iman, themselves in faith also. They believed in Allah and His Messenger, and they were established in Medina. What's their characteristic? يُحُبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They love those who immigrated to them. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And they would not leave anything in their capabilities they would not give. And to the extent, actually, the Prophet ﷺ paired them with muhajirin. So one person from Medina with one person from Mecca to help him take care of his affairs ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة. And even in some cases they would give to the brother who is immigrant more than what's left with them. ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. Those who resist the stinginess of the self, these are the true successful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who would have any chance to help immigrants this time and any time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us and help us the great tidings to be among those whom He praised for loving immigrants and welcoming them. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين. اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم العظيم ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا دينا إلا سددته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا حاجة شرعية إلا قضيتها لنا يا كريم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
استقيموا واعتدلوا. Straighten the lines and complete them successively. الله أكبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وعين لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وعدده أيحسب أن ماله أخلده يحسب أن ماله أخلده كلا لينبذن في الحطمة وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام.